morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Sweet Gail B on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. If you want to join the show, call, text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon is effectively ruining. Just a reminder to download the wonderful and free Civic Media app wherever you get your apps. That allows you to listen to all of our stations all across the network, all the various shows, because there are different morning shows in some places where you listen, WISS in Oshkosh, Mano with the Mayor in Green Bay. So all you have to do is download the wonderful Civic Media app, and then you can call and text directly to whatever station you're listening to. It's pretty cool.
Text us!
Yeah, text us, too. You can always text 855-75-CIVIC. Now that Dr. Kristen Lierley has announced she is running for the 8th Congressional District, she handed her speculum over to Dr. Laura Hanks, who's going to join us now every Wednesday at 11:33 for the public cervix announcement. And if you have any health-related questions, does not have to be OBGYN-related, she can address those as well. Yeah. So you can always send those in to janesays@civicmedia.us. We're going to start off the hour, though, welcoming Arizona to the 1860s. Arizona's highest court Tuesday upheld an 1864 law banning nearly all abortions. Physicians are now on notice that all abortions except those necessary to save a woman's life are illegal, and they could face 2 to 5 years in prison.
Is that terrible? Without a doubt. But is it weird that in my head I also think, oh, but at least back in those days they said, but for the life of the mother.
But this goes back to none of that's been codified. How close to death does she have to be? 75%? 60%? Half and half? When do we decide she is sick enough or close enough to death? That I need to do this procedure to save her life. None of that is codified.
Are you telling me that the Arizona Supreme Court didn't wade into that minutia at all?
No, shockingly.
Oh, that's...
Democrats in Arizona condemning it on as a stain that will put women's lives at risk. Several Republicans, according to this article in the New York Times, sensing political peril, are now criticizing the ruling and calling for the GOP-controlled legislature to repeal it, because they're not afraid. They know this is not a popular position.
I got one word, two syllables. It's smack in the middle of this country. Kansas,
of all places,
voted to keep abortion access.
Kansas.
When Kansas does that, and
they came out en masse.
Yes. And good on you, Arizona GOP members, for really thinking about the health and wealth of the mother and the choice of women. No, this had to do with your electability.
Yeah. Now good they're job. Concerned they're going to lose.
Yeah.
So now they're backtracking on it.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, of course, is out today saying, yep, I killed Roe. Isn't that great? I killed Roe,
and I did whatever all experts wanted me to do. They all wanted me. Both sides wanted me to do that, it, guys.
No, that's not accurate.
Jane, everyone on both sides. You see, there's one side that said, kill it, and then the other side that said, kill it. So that's what I did. I killed it because I am the greatest killer of rights there is. I'm Donald Trump.
In poll after poll, most Americans, nearly two-thirds of respondents in multiple polls, wish Roe would have been preserved.
Yeah.
A CNN poll in 2023, 64% opposed the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe, almost identical to a poll the year earlier. A Marquette Law School poll in February of this year, 67% of adults opposed the decision that overturned Roe versus Wade.
Do you know who said it shouldn't be overturned and it was, you know, codified in law and protected and not worthy of talking about? The last three Supreme Court justices.
Yeah.
So... that's where we...
You mean the last... Amy Coney Barrett,
Who
Brett
else?
Kavanaugh,
yes.
And Neil Gorsuch.
Yes.
During their confirmation hearings, all said that Roe was established precedent and therefore would be left alone. They lied.
But Jane, here's something we didn't notice when they were doing their testimonies. their fingers were crossed behind their backs. We didn't notice that. That's
so,
on us.
Oh, that's so that,
that's our
okay.
fault. Our that, fault. That's sorry, your, guys.
Get out of jail free card. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, I don't know how you give these Republicans who are backpedaling now any credibility because, like you said, they where's the concern for the woman and the, you know, the mother, the child, whatever? There's no concern for that. It's the only concern about their hypocritical views of make sure they're reelected. And I swear to God, if any of these people get reelected, they're just going to come back and backpedal again and then repeal what they unrepealed.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't trust those people at all. They're just a bunch of hypocritical liars.
For the record, any credit I may have been giving them was purely in jest and smothered in sarcasm.
We do that sometimes, Cindy. You know that. You're my sarcasm soul sister. Thank you so much, Cindy. Really appreciate you listening. Speaking of the flip-floppers, Carrie Lake.
Oh, you mean the person who didn't win?
The Carrie Lake who always looks like she's coming from heaven or something because of the whatever filter she uses on her camera. I would like to find that filter. I could use it. Carrie Lake said yesterday, quote, "I have traveled to every corner of this state on the campaign trail. I speak to more Arizonans than anyone, and it is abundantly clear that the pre-statehood law is out of step with Arizonans. However, 2 years ago, just weeks before they overturned Roe versus Wade, Carrie Lake called the 1864 ban in Arizona a great law during a GOP candidate forum. And now that it's happened, oh, no, I didn't mean that.
Not that law.
Not that law.
Not that law.
Polling shows Arizona voters still support a woman's right to choose. To a certain point, Republicans could have made the case that 15 weeks is a fair compromise. But because the hard right runs the legislature in Arizona, the 1864 ban remained on the books.
Yeah.
So well done. Ron from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Ron. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
It gets more and more ridiculous. Not only did Trump make that blanket claim, I made this happen. I made overturning Roe v. Wade happen. The next day, I mean, that was yesterday that he said that apparently at some point. And last night and this morning, his campaign has been busy trying to pull that back as best they can.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's sort of, if you think about it, for everybody except his hardcore, which is a small percentage of a percentage, everybody else, that's a killer. If you're running for president and saying, I made Roe v. Wade happy, Wade happen, are you happy? And we aren't. So they're busy backpedaling. All these other people like Carrie Lake and the Lake of Fire, and backpedaling. All these people.
Wow.
She should be in the Lake of Fire at some point along with Donald. All these people are now backpedaling. And the moderates are just sitting there because they now what do? Now we're really screwed. Yep. Moderate Republicans, but I use that with quotation marks because they're conservative Republicans who just aren't crazy conservative Republicans.
It's,
what a spit show. It
That's our promo for today, Ron. Thank you for that. It is a spit show, and it's a problem of their own making.
Yeah.
And as Cindy said right before you, the Carrie Lakes and the ones who are backtracking from this now, if they are reelected, they will backtrack again and go back to that complete ban. They can't stop flip-flopping. It's about getting elected and staying in that sweet spot.
Only on this topic have I seen politicians manage to paint themselves into two corners at the same time. They're like, they have to appease their pro-life side, but then they have to be smart and be sensible and realize, oh, this sort of extreme law will get me kicked out of office.
Yep.
So they have to appease both sides, and they can't because one side doesn't trust them. The other side will.
Well, the other side wants all or nothing. Thank you so much for calling, Ron, and thank you so very much for listening. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the far right want everything. It's my way or the highway.
But if they come out and say, well, we need to look at some of the measures, the people on the other side say, you're lying. We know you're lying because we know what your record's been for years. And all of a sudden you built this monster and the monster's banging down the door and you don't know what to do. We've been trying to tell you for years now, but you wouldn't listen.
Talking about the decision in Arizona yesterday, where the Supreme Court there upheld an 1864 law banning nearly all abortions, no exceptions for rape or incest, except there are exceptions for to save a woman's life. Although, again, those are not specified.
Yeah.
And so there's lots of questions there. And what doctor now, facing a potential 2 to 5 years in prison, what doctor is going to take that chance?
Yeah. No, I mean.
And that's by, I think that's by design.
Yeah.
They just want to, it, rather than come out and say, okay, she has to be 75% close to death, because that's going to make them look pretty bad. So this way they just leave it ambiguous, and the threat alone of potential legal repercussions will take care of itself.
Once again, as we've said before, they built this monster and now they have to contain it, and they're not, because they didn't have just the basic. I mean, it's the same discussion we were having earlier about guns. We talk about it all the time. People en masse want sensible gun laws.
Yes.
It's been polled and polled and polled and polled. And for some reason,
or at least a decade.
Oh, longer. And for some reason, a small group of people get to say, no, that's not it. It's all or nothing. And it's freedom. And it's the Constitution. Same thing with abortion. Very sensible Republicans and conservatives understand there needs to be access to abortion for some things. What we agree on may not be a lot, but there are some agreements. But for some reason, nope. All a small group of people can say all or nothing, yep. And here we are.
Here we are.
Mass shootings and no abortions and access
we're back,
in Arizona.
We're back to the 1860s.
Oh, and boy, howdy.
And we're going to talk a little bit more just about how good things were.
Back in the old days.
In the 1860s. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't help. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join the conversation, call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Baseball fans, Brewers at the Reds tonight, 5:05, and you can catch the game from news from the center, WRCE in Richland Center, and also 98Q Country, WCQM in Park Falls, 98.3 FM. Brewers and the Reds tonight, 5:05. We started off the hour talking about the Arizona Supreme Court yesterday basically instituting an abortion ban from 1864. Last hour, we had the opportunity to talk to a Wisconsin voter who has done a testimonial for Republican voters against Trump. Really appreciate Tom taking the time out to talk to us. And I didn't expect we would agree on everything. We didn't agree on everything, but that's part of the whole idea, is to have different discussions so we can learn the things that we do agree on. But the one thing that Tom said is that he's going to be writing in a candidate because he believes Joe Biden is actually a bigger threat than Donald Trump, but he doesn't support Donald Trump. So he is going to do a write-in. And a texter listening in Madison, I have a real problem with people writing in a candidate or not voting. I'm 83. I have voted since I was 18. Only about twice was I happy about my presidential choice. We need to vote for the good of the country as a whole and quit whining about everything we are not getting. And I thank you so much for that text. And I agree with you. We have two choices. That's all we have.
Yes.
It's Trump or Biden. That's yep. It. RFK Jr. is a spoiler.
Yes.
To pull votes away from Biden, to clear the way for Donald Trump. We heard one of his campaign officials yesterday in New York State, essentially stating that.
And frankly, we should be playing that once a week from now until the election so no one never hears it again. Also, voting to make a point to a sitting president isn't a way of voting. Sorry, there are other ways of doing it. You write, you march, you call, you influence. If you have influence, you use that influence. But simply saying, nope, I don't like this president because of this one thing. Well, guess what? You now make it harder for a lot of other people. Sorry, I don't respect that.
If you are concerned about a second Trump term, any vote for someone other than Joe Biden is effectively ensuring that Donald Trump will get a second term.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
We don't want to scare you, even though it's scary, and we're not threatening you, but it just seems like the logical step. And I'm holding back frustration.
We're going to go back to our discussion about Arizona and the Arizona Supreme Court going back to an 1864 rule banning abortion. And it got us talking before we got on the air, Greg and I, just kicking things around about general medical practices in the 1860s.
Yeah.
Since this law sprung from the 1864.
Before we got in the medical thing, I wanted to start with a little light fun.
Okay.
I thought I'd find out what you could find for a dollar in 1864. Because you could spend that money on something. I mean, you can't have access to basic medical care. If you had a dollar, you could buy a dozen pigeons back in 1864.
Oh, a dollar. That's a lot of pigeons.
3 quarts of whiskey, 3 pounds of butter, 6 pounds of salt pork. That's what a dollar would get you back in those days. But
nice.
That quality medical care back in those days in 1860.
Not so much.
I wouldn't say. Well, I don't want to besmirch the talent of those doctors. I bet you they were very good at these tactics.
They did what their best, right?
Yeah, but we did some digging.
Yeah,
we used those resources here at Matt and Air on Air, and we found out that some of the practices back in 1864, things like bloodletting,
very popular. For those who don't know, they would actually cut open your veins,
mm-hmm,
or a vein,
uh-huh,
and let the blood drain for a while because that was to get all the bad booga booga stuff out of you.
What's that again?
That is the Latin term, booga booga stuff.
Ooh, booga booga.
And that, yes, like, you know, bad humors or whatever they used to call it. So yeah, they would drain your blood
and
expect that that's gonna get you back on your feet.
And then I went and looked up, has bloodletting ever killed anybody? Well, it killed someone pretty famous.
It did.
Our first president was killed from bloodletting.
George Washington.
The same guy. He was killed when they bloodlet 5 pints of blood out of his body, which for a man we're about the same height. He was weighed less, but he had about 11, 12 pints of blood.
So yeah, that's half his blood.
Pretty much. To get the bad stuff out, get that bad oars out.
Yeah.
Another thing they would do, blistering.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
I had never heard of blistering before, and I looked it up. This is the scientific definition from the University of Toledo. Blistering involves placing hot plasters onto the skins to raise blisters, which were then drained. The most common purgative was calomel, a form of mercuric chloride, which never sounds good.
Mm-mm.
Which worked as a laxative in small doses, but usually was prescribed in large doses to purge the system. 1864 Madison. And then finally, and Jane, you were able to describe this one better than me. High doses of mineral poisons, which was,
yeah, I think they used mercury.
Yeah,
I think they used to actually give people mercury.
Just wonderful. But
it was,
you know,
it was cutting edge science back in 1864.
And you might be sitting here saying, Greg, Jane, Calvin, why would I go back in time and expose myself to such shoddy medical practices? Well, I have an upside for you. Do not worry, because in 1864, at that point, doctors were not only washing their instruments finally, but they were also washing their hands.
What a relief.
Phew!
I feel so much better about medical advice now coming from the 1860s, because they were finally washing their medical instruments and, yeah, their hands.
I just hope they're in my network.
What would would have been the equivalent of an HMO in the 1860s. Matt from Madison has been Middleton has been hanging on the line. Thank you for your patience, Matt. What did you want to say? We have just a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up the whole Trumpism stuff and taking rights away from people. This is all about a minority trying to rule over the majority, and that's why we're seeing all this violence and intimidation. And the way that the MAGA kind of pushed out the rest of the Republicans, because they always go after their own first. And I think if Trump gets back in, we'll just see a lot more violence and intimidation, because that's the only way that minority holds on to control. You know, and you see it in a lot of other countries as well.
Yep. So. You make a great point, Matt. You really do. And that's why we are going to continue talking about a write-in candidate or a vote for Bob Kennedy is merely a vote for Donald Trump. Thank Correct. You so much for calling. Really appreciate it.
I just like the idea of like, this 1864. Is this doctor in my network? You can get all those surgeries for a quarter.
Maybe a nickel. All right. We're going to continue the medical discussion, and if you have a question for Dr. Laura Hanks, please text it in or email it in. News is next, and then when we return, public cervix announcement. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board here to screen your calls at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. She took over the speculum last week from Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and we're very excited to have her back. Dr. Laura Hanks is here for our public cervix announcement. Good morning, Dr. Hanks. How are you doing?
Good morning. Doing great. Good to see you guys again.
I loved your text. I loved your text this morning because you said that your parents wanted to watch on the live stream. So good morning, Mom and Dad. Hanks, I hope you're watching, and I hope your daughter looks terrific. So.
Finally, you have something to be proud of your daughter for. You've made it. Matt Nair on Air.
Yeah, all those years of medical school and stuff. Yeah, and now she's on the radio. So
yeah, my girl's famous.
You're a very busy doctor, so I don't know that you had the chance, Dr. Hanks, to listen before you joined us. But we were talking about the decision by the Arizona Supreme Court yesterday to essentially outlaw all abortions, no exceptions for rape or incest. Yes, there is an exception for the life of the mother. What that actually entails, I don't know. I'm pretty sure it hasn't been very strictly codified because I think they want to create the confusion so that doctors are going to be afraid to perform any kind of life-saving procedure in order to stay out of prison. But I wanted to start here, and I don't do this very often because I don't need all the hate, but every once in a while I will go to our YouTube page and they put together, our social media team does a great job of taking short clips from the shows every once in a while just to give an idea of some of the things that we're talking about. And there was a 60-second clip where we were talking with Dr. Lyerly about abortions and why abortions are necessary and in what circumstances they are necessary. And not only was I kind of mortified by the amount of comments that just said, just close your legs. Just close your legs and you won't have that problem. But the other thing that really stunned me, Dr. Hanks, was the amount of misinformation about the circumstances when abortion is needed. There are people who say abortion is never, never necessary, ever. Yes, it is.
Yeah. I have so many comments that one of my favorite memes that I saw about abortions recently that was like the number one reason someone gets an abortion is none of your business. The second is none of your business. Mm-hmm. And, so on and so on. And it's so true. But, to the Arizona point, too, it seems like they kind of took a page out of our handbook, unfortunately. And even in that, New York Times article, they actually
She just froze a little bit.
Talked about Wisconsin, which was a little bit embarrassing.
That's okay. You're back.
Yeah. And just, we lived that. We had to go through that here in Wisconsin following a law that was literally written by freaking candlelight, at a time when there weren't ultrasounds, when there weren't, and you're just like trying to interpret that and what that means. And it was scary for us and for our patients. And how the heck do we counsel? And what we talked a lot about during that time of kind of confusion and chaos, which is what the hope is that comes from this, is what do you do when a patient comes in? And this is just one of many circumstances that happens all the time, when somebody breaks their water at 17, 18 weeks. So we call viability when a baby can live on the outside of mom. It really depends on where you are in the country, too. Some people will offer it as early as 22 weeks. Some people, 23, 24 was kind of the traditional number for a long time, but we've been pushing that back a little bit. But regardless, but before that number, the baby cannot survive on the outside, right? So what happens when they break their water? So when someone breaks their water, they're at risk for getting an infection. The baby needs that fluid around for their lungs to develop. So the chance of them being able to get lung development when the water breaks too early is also compromised. And there were a couple of studies that came out just recently looking at what happens specifically when a patient breaks her water earlier. And one study found that the live birth rate after you break your water is only 44%. So the live birth rate is 44%. The chance that the baby's going to survive to discharge, 26%.
Oh my.
Okay. So then, and then you look at like, what about mom? So this is horrible that these babies are going to pass away, or the majority of them are, right? But then the mom's at risk for infection, it's just sitting there with kind of like, open to the elements, for lack of a better word. But so the risk of a mom having there was another study that looked at like, okay, let's look at like the chance of the baby surviving and the mom not having some sort of morbidity. So only 15% of moms are going to avoid having a morbidity and having a baby go home with them. So like this, when this happened in Wisconsin, when we had our archaic law that we were trying to work under, we were like, what are we going to tell these patients that have these, that this is, because we would offer terminate, that's what our guidelines say, is that to offer termination for the life and health of the mother. But are we going to consider this the life and health of the mother? And these are the questions that are very real and we have to think about. And I talk about a lot with my friend. They're like, oh yeah, I didn't think about that. And I'm like, that's my life. That's what I have to think about all the time. And my patients' lives. And not only is this the worst day of their life, but now I have to go in and make them feel guilty because I'm operating under this archaic law so that I don't go to prison. Like, it's just obscene.
Dr. Laura Hanks is our guest for our public cervix announcement. And we're talking just in general about abortion. This after the Arizona Supreme Court yesterday kicked back their abortion rules to 1864. Of course, Wisconsin, when Roe fell, went back to 1849. So we beat them by a couple of years. Yay. Yay us, cool. I guess. But then I was referring to some of the comments I've seen on some of our civic media channels and this show in particular. And again, just very basically, Dr. Hanks, a spontaneous miscarriage is called an abortion, correct?
Yeah. So we've had a lot of kind of reevaluation of how we, how we use our wording. And it is called, is a spontaneous abortion. Okay. And we've had patients that have come back and said, why is this on my chart? I didn't have an abortion. And it's like, that's what a miscarriage is called. And so that's always been what it the right. medical terminology, yeah.
right.
but it's been demonized. Brought up a lot more now because yep. people are, you know, very scared by what happened with the Dobbs decision and of course just created more confusion. And you know, having to have these discussions with our parents again, someone that's going through a miscarriage is also often very sad, and like, you know, in having to like go through these details. And you know, right after the Dobbs decision, so many of my patients were just so scared to even talk to me, afraid that they couldn't talk to me. And that's just so, that's so unfair. It's so heartbreaking. And I can't stress it enough. It's just not right.
Well, depending on whatever man you talk to, and I say that very specifically.
Hi, I'm one. What's up?
Whatever man you talk to. what is his name? Lou Dobbs.
That's his name.
I'm sorry. Larry Kudlow on Fox News yesterday. Sorry. Wrong man. Larry Kudlow on Fox News yesterday had a guest on who's a conservative radio talker, and they were talking about this Arizona decision. And Calvin, I would like you to play that clip because according to these men, this isn't such a big deal.
That's what it is to be pro-choice. Yeah. The states can decide. If you had to travel to another state to get an abortion, it's not the worst thing in the world. Hopefully, this is a very rare occurrence in your life. Once in your life, maybe you would do it. Buying a bus ticket to go somewhere to get it is not the worst thing in the world.
Come on, girls. It's just a bus ticket. You might be bleeding internally, but it's just a bus ticket. Come on.
So that's such a privileged response, first of all. Second of all, it's not the pro-choice. It's not pro-life. It's anti-choice. Let's not like mix
confuse the
not,
two.
Not,
yeah.
If you were pro-life, then you would be supportive once these babies were born. And that's a whole different, not really a whole different discussion, but a very related discussion. But this argument drives me insane because when you look at the maps of like where abortion is restricted, and if you live in Mississippi, it's not a bus ticket.
You're going to take several buses.
It's far. And it's so privileged to think that people can, that all of our patients can even afford a bus ticket. And like you said, not to mention the risk of if they're bleeding or if there is something wrong, if there is, you know, if it is for the life of the mother, like it's obscene. I had a patient that during the Dobbs decision had to travel to Illinois because her baby had the chromosome abnormality. And I don't know if everyone knows this, but when you're pregnant, you have higher risk of blood clots.
Yes.
And if you sit for a long time, that's going to make that risk higher. She got a blood clot because she couldn't get the care she needed in the state that she lived in. Like, you know, it's just obscene that we're putting our patients through this because some guy thinks they can just get on a bus. Like that's we're endangering our patients, and it's just obscene.
Dr. Laura Hanks is our guest for our public cervix announcement. Andrew in Maine on a live stream, and I would like you to address this. I bet Dr. Lyerly and Dr. Hanks would say that being pregnant alone is a threat to a woman's health. That is like the most dangerous thing a woman can do, is it not?
Personally, my pregnancy's almost killed me. I love my kids, but like I can't get pregnant again. I had to go get IVIG infusion, which like don't even get, those are like $60,000 a pop. Like it's like I had the 1 in 50,000 disorder you get in pregnancy. And so like I truly think if I had another pregnancy, it might like kill me.
It would kill you.
And it's just, you know, like, and that's, you know, my choice to be pregnant or not and, you know, do with my body. But there are a lot of patients out there that, you know, have even more common disorders that can be life-threatening. And the risk of just delivery in general is so much more high risk than having a termination, if that's what they were to choose. It's, you know, it's a medical or surgical. It is much less risky than going to a term pregnancy and giving birth.
And the thing that's very infuriating to me as a guy and someone in hearing the words of that man, hearing you talk about the fact that you went through what you went through with your pregnancies, there are people out there who, instead of feeling empathy towards your situation and applying it to the possible experience of other women out there, they'll instead say, see what she went through, and she did, you know what I mean? Like, there's that, it's, it,
they, oh, and they, you survived.
They twist it.
They take, yeah, they twist it every time. They take it and they make it their own. You're like, you're not getting the point. We're trying to protect people's lives. You're quote unquote pro-life, but you apparently are not when we have situations like this.
Well, and I can guarantee you the guy who left the comment who said, just close your legs. He's the one who thinks that every single pregnancy is exactly the same.
Yeah.
And every woman's pregnancy is experienced in exactly the same way. And they simply are not. We are going to continue dispelling some of this misinformation out there with Dr. Laura Hanks and our public cervix announcement. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Vast Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join the conversation. Call, text at 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Dr. Laura Hanks is with us every Wednesday now from 11:30 to 12 for our public cervix announcement. And we've been talking about the Arizona Supreme Court decision essentially kicking back to an abortion ruling from 1864 and talking about misinformation in general about abortion and abortion care. It is health care. I did want to say, Andrew in Maine says on the live stream, Jane, isn't most of the misinformation more accurately Mr. Misinformation? And I would say yes, except, and I had brought this up with Dr. Lyerly a few months ago. I was listening to Todd Alba talking about the same thing, and a woman called in, very nice lady, and she was obviously very sincere, and she said, well, they're not expecting women to carry a baby that's dead, are they, right? And he said, no, they are. They are. If you are in some states and your child has already died in the womb, rather than letting you go get health care for that, you have to carry it to term and then deliver your dead child.
Yeah. I mean,
it sounds like something out of a horror movie.
It does. And I think that that's a lot of the misinformation too, is the people can't fathom some of the things that we see in our clinics, and it's hard to think of kind of the worst possible scenario. When I was going through medical school and you go through your different rotations to decide what you want to go into. And I remember loving OBGYN because so many times you'd leave the room and say, congratulations, instead of I'm sorry. Right. But when things go wrong, they go really wrong.
Yep.
And they can be really scary, really fast. And people don't want to think about that. You know, like on our daily conversation, dinner conversations. I'm like the worst at dinner conversations.
Same. Absolutely same.
we were on vacation, side note, just because we need a little bit of light. We were on vacation a couple years ago, and my brother-in-law kind of like awkwardly walked away from a conversation. I was like, what's his problem? My mom was like, I don't think you realize how often you use the word vagina in conversation.
Oh God!
Too much at lunch.
I know what you're talking about. When we were having that nice bit of warm weather a month and a half ago, people are like, "Oh, I love this weather," and my first reaction would be like, "The Earth is on fire."
That's what my husband always says. Yeah, I know. We're the Debbie Downers. Yeah. I digress. But back to kind of the kind of more heavy stuff. But it is. You know, we see a lot of sad stuff, and not often, but when we do, it's just like it's still a person.
Yes.
It's still somebody that's going to have to go through this. And that's where I feel like a lot of these laws that like, well, that doesn't happen that often, you know, like the majority of people will be just fine. You're like, no, but that even if it's that one patient, that's a person.
What if it's your daughter or your sister exactly. or your wife? I keep thinking back to that poor woman in Texas whose baby was not going to make it. She mm-hmm. had to sit through counseling on
yeah.
what she should do to put her child up for adoption rather than get accurate medical care.
Yeah.
She was put through agony.
Yeah.
And the child was not going to live, and she had to sit through that.
Yeah.
Like she had a choice. How unkind can we be?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when there was a case in Ireland like 10 years ago. It was a dentist, I think, who when they had they used to have the strict abortion laws.
Right.
And I remember hearing about that, and we, you know, in my circles talked about that, like how she, you know, died because she couldn't get a termination for, you know, a baby that wasn't
going to survive. She had sepsis, right? She had sepsis.
She did. Yep. And I just remember like, that was so ingrained, like, oh, that is, I can't imagine living in a place. And like, that's our everyday now. In the United States. And so to say, you know, I hear all the time, well, the Dobbs, it didn't outlaw abortions, you know, just go to another state, like the clip said. Like, I hear that, you know, from and it's just like, that's not, no, that someone is suffering, and if they need care right now, they need care right now.
Well, and it amazes me that they can just be so flippant about it. Yeah, you know, oh, it's just a bus ticket. And it's the whole, and I said this when with the colleagues I was working with at the time when the decision about Dobbs was leaking. And they're like, you're late. You guys are overreacting. You girls are overreacting. You need to calm down.
Quit being so emotional.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, to kind of relate something we discussed earlier at the beginning of the show, it's a very weird thing to say out loud, but gun control is also linked to healthcare, of course. And you take people through these situations where horrible things are happening to teachers, children, family, in talking about abortion access, women making these horrible decisions that are going to affect their lives forever, and you have just people standing back going, "Eh, give a teacher a gun. Eh, they can go to another state." This total lack of
pro-life.
Yeah,
this total lack of empathy and more of logic too. Like this, just dropping of logic because you just can't say, oh, maybe we should just make it a skosh easier, a little bit easier. But no, you can't do that. You have to say, yeah, they'll get a bus ticket and they'll drive to another state. It's fine. Don't worry about it. They'll watch a movie.
Andrew in Maine just put on a live stream. Is your 911 system too slow responding to your emergency? Just drive to another state or get a bus ticket.
Yeah.
I'm sure your heart attack will be fine.
Yeah.
All right, we're just about out of time. We have news coming up next. Dr. Laura Hanks joins us every Wednesday from 11:30 to 12 for our public cervix announcement. If you have a question for her, send it in. Email it to janesays@civicmedia.us, and we will continue our conversation next week. Thank you so much, Dr. Hanks. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Great to see you again.
You as well. Thank you, Greg and Calvin. Without you guys, nothing works. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening and for calling. And for texting, it means the world. It really does. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay right here. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.